That was Moses. And I'm here as Elijah. Let's see how these two important responsibilities of priests and leaders connect with each other. On January 16, 2018, on that wonderful day when we were introduced to a brand new First Presidency, President Nelson said the following. As a new presidency, we want to begin with the end in mind. For this reason, we are speaking to you today from a temple. And as they were seated there in the comfortable setting of the annex of the Salt Lake Temple, and as the camera panned, you could see through the windows the side of the majestic Salt Lake Temple. They were there at the temple because they wanted to begin as a new presidency with the end in mind. With the temple as the end in mind, he taught us that this is where we go and make and intend to keep sacred covenants. And he said, all members, he invited all members of the church to get on and stay on the covenant path. Those words are beginning to fall off our lips. They're easy to say, easy to remember, and now it's time to do. He did promise that if we would help members get on the covenant path with the end in mind, being a visit to worship in the temple, we would be endowed with power, families would be sealed, and we would qualify for the greatest gifts of God, that of eternal life. And then he went on to emphasize the importance of uniting families together. Brethren, this is all well known to us. I ask myself, okay, where's the so what? And I don't have to go very far to give myself an answer. The so what, as proclaimed by Malachi, is that so that the earth is not utterly wasted at his coming. That's pretty strong language for a prophet to speak. And it is a very dramatic outcome. If the end is not achieved, which is to have Latter-day Saints worshiping in temple, uniting families, not just their families here today, but their families who came before and their families who come after, imagine that the entirety of the great plan of happiness of Heavenly Father would be frustrated, and the whole earth would be utterly wasted. None of us wants to be part of that outcome. So let us gear up and decide today that we will follow the prophet of the Lord, get on the covenant path, and help our families come along with us and others to follow as well. Today, though, I'd like to kind of take it from the beginning. We know where we want the end to be, but if we're going to achieve the end goal, it implies that there must be a beginning. In my mind, we begin with priesthood key holders whose faith is unshaken and whose commitment to Christ is unquestioned. In other words, brother, it begins with you. You represent the key holders of this great body of the church of which Elder Renlund spoke earlier. I like what he said about comparing the church in these 11 states, comprising about 40,000 members, being stronger, larger, and better equipped than the church ever was when the prophet Joseph Smith himself was the presiding prophet on the earth. That is a whole new way of thinking about it for me. That tells me a lot about you. And so let's get up our gear up together. It begins with you, the key holders. You hold the keys, and you are the key to get yourself and assist others to get on and stay on the covenant path. To begin implies that we need to be prepared. I want to talk about three elements of preparation that you as a key holder might consider as you seek revelation in this session today. The first is, prepare yourself. The second, prepare others. And third is, to prepare your family. Let's start with prepare yourself. In order for you to be an effective key holder, it is absolutely imperative that you are personally pure. You will not be able to accomplish the Lord's work if there is personal imperfection among you. And now let's be real clear. This does not mean we need to be perfect. But there are things from which we must make sure we never participate, in which we must never participate. We must have clean hands and a pure heart. Whenever Hallstrom visited me in our home and extended the call to me to serve as a 70, he asked me a couple of important questions. Number one, do you have and are you worthy of a temple recommend? Yes, Elder Hallstrom, was my response. And one of the other questions that he asked me was, do you have any pornography in your life? No, President Elder Hallstrom, there is not. That is the kind of thing that you must guard against most aggressively. We must have clean hands and pure hearts as key holders in order to be effective. It also implies that you're going to be asking yourself, what lack I yet? If you ask that question, will you be ready for the answer? And then will you be prepared to do what King Lamoni did when he said that he was willing to give away all of his sins? In order for you to be personally pure, you must make sure that none of these impure thoughts enter your mind, and that you're willing to give up whatever imperfections there may be. It will take a lifetime to get there. But as a bishop, as a state president, as a counselor in state presidency, it is imperative that you are personally pure. Second, you must understand the doctrine. The doctrine is both so simple, so wonderfully sweet. It's Heavenly Father's plan that was taught in the councils of heaven from the foundation of the world. You know the plan. We chose the plan. You're here because of the plan. Remember it and teach it. And that its great end is the circle of life, which gets us back home to Heavenly Father. That plan is now being executed through the wonderful creation that has occurred. Know that doctrine, the purpose of the creation of the world. Next, it's important that we understand the imperative of the fall of men and women. Adam fell, but men may be. Men are that we might have joy. It is absolutely critical to understand the fall and what is the nature of man now as a result of the fall. And finally, the absolute certainty of the atonement and the doctrine of the atonement of Jesus Christ. As a key holder, it will be critical that you have a working knowledge of each of these doctrines and the ability to genuinely testify to the truths of these doctrines. It'll be important for you to have continuous learning. Continuous learning by faith motivates us to act in faith. A few months ago, I went to the handbook, Handbook 2, Section 2.1.2, to learn and study more about what is an ordinance. And then I went to Handbook 2, Section 2.1.3. What is a covenant? Right in the preamble, and it's very short, we understand that as an ordinance is a physical act that is taught to us with symbols. These symbols remind us of Father's love the Son's atonement and the Holy Ghost's influence. I've had a marvelous time tracking through scriptures that help me understand the various symbols of the endowment and how they teach me about the Father's love, the Savior's atonement, and the influence of the Holy Ghost. That kind of continuous learning has energized me again to help me understand these sacred, important doctrines and enables me to share them with others. Personal preparation, brother, is the first key step that you as a key holder must have to take. Next, a key holder is to prepare others. Elder Renlund has already taught us so very well about assisting others to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember what he taught us? He said, pray carefully that you might know the invitation to extend, and then become a mentor and help others become the kind of teacher that we need them to be. As we prepare others to get on the covenant path and to have a temple worshiping experience, we also want to invite everyone to be involved in family history and temple work. Elder Renlund taught in the recent Roots Tech Leadership Conference on March 1st, 2018, we encourage everyone to get on the covenant path as soon as possible, even and especially when they are new and tender in the gospel, and then stay focused on the blessings of the temple. He continued, new converts who participate in temple and family history work are retained at a higher rate. As they are focused on temple and family history, more will remain active, more will be protected when the storms and fierce winds strike. The evidence, brethren, is incontrovertible. Young people who are participating in family history and temple work are more likely to receive their enrollment at the appropriate age, they are more likely to serve honorable missions, they are more likely to be sealed in the temple. You, as the key holder, are the one who will invite the 12-year-olds and the new converts to learn about and participate in family history work. Finally, let me talk about preparing families, preparing your family. We've all learned the phrase, find, teach, find, take, and teach. I hope you've had an experience of your own of finding one of your ancestors whose temple work has either not been started or perhaps not been completed. I hope that you've had the experience of taking that, the name of that ancestor to the temple to perform that ordinance. If your experience has been like mine, for decades I was a temple worshiper using the names that were there supplied by the temple. I testify to you that temple worship is a totally different experience if you perform those sacred ordinances for a member of your family. If you have been going to the temple for year after year after year and not had the opportunity to take your own family member's name, I invite you, I encourage you, at the first possible chance, to have that experience. And then you will see for yourself what the difference will be. We had one such experience very recently. We were doing a little bit of celebration. And in ways unknown to me, Michelle and I ended up at the Washington, D.C. temple with all of our 6 children. They had been planning and preparing for months. I didn't know all that the preparation was happening at all. But when they came, we wrapped around each other in a tight family hug, and then we entered the temple. One of our sons had been doing our family history research for us. And he came prepared with a stack of family names from our family that needed sealing. It was interesting as we went through them one by one that some of them had been baptized in the temple in the 1990s, some in the 1970s, and yet all this time had lapsed and they were just now being sealed. Sealed child to parent, or to spouses, or parent to child. We, the eight of us, took our turns rotating around the sacred altar as proxies for each of these wonderful ancestors. As time would have it, we only got through half of the stack of the Washington, D.C. temple in that hour and a half. And from there, we went on up to Hartford, Connecticut, a place that was important to our family in early days. The day had been arranged so that after we did some fun things, we ended up at the Hartford Temple. And we went in and we finished the stack of ceilings. This one was particularly interesting because as we entered the Hartford Temple, we were met by President André Varini. President Varini had served as a counselor to me in the state presidency of Hartford State many years ago. And now President Varini was serving as a counselor in the Hartford Temple presidency. As we knelt at the altar, this great Italian President Varini, who speaks with a thick accent in English right now, had a most difficult time trying to pronounce the Icelandic names that Michelle's family represent. It was very fun to try to hear him pronounce their names. But pronounce them he did, sealed they were, and we as a family had the wonderful blessing of finding, taking those names for those ordinances. And now it's our responsibility to teach the rest of our family how to do the same thing. One of our daughters has learned how to connect with a family member in a wonderful way. Can I have the picture put up, please? This is a project that she calls her passion project. If you'd like to really have a wonderful time at the temple, learn a little bit about the people for whom you will be proxy before you go. The only regret we had about the sealings that we performed 2 months ago, first in the Washington, D.C. Temple, and then the Hartford Temple, was that we saw their names, we could read their names, we could look up on our computers how we were connected to them, and some of them were quite distant relatives, but we really didn't know those individuals. Let me introduce you to Grandma Stella, here on this picture. This is a photograph that was taken in the early 1900s. Grandma Stella is the little child kneeling to the far right. Grandma Stella is my wife Michelle's grandmother. We know Grandma Stella. She's been in our home. She traveled across the country to tend our children. Grandma Stella finally passed away at the age of 104, about 10 years ago. This picture was taken with her kneeling at her mother's knee with her two sisters. This picture has been used in National Geographic as an example of early photography. It's also been used in publications for BYU. We found it hanging on the wall in a most interesting location as we walked through the General Relief Society building in Salt Lake City. It's a well-used picture, and it's our family picture. Sandra, I want to know more about Grandma Stella. How old was she here? Where did that furniture come from? She spent a year researching, getting to know Grandma Stella's mother. What was her name? And then she said to herself, you know, I have three daughters. you advance this, please? I have three daughters. I would like to have a picture with my three daughters, just like the picture with Grandma Stella. She found all the same furniture, the same lamp, the same backdrop an artist helped her with, and in their basement, Sandra recreated the family picture that is identical to Grandma Stella's. Picture number one. Picture number two. Sandra's little girls were so excited. You see, they even did their hair the same as their former great-great-great aunt or great-great-grandmother. Sandra has connected with an ancestor so that while the work has been done for everyone in this picture, there are others beyond them for whom it is yet to be done. We will find them, we will take them, and we will feel connected with them because we know and love Grandma Stella, and we know and love Grandma Stella's mother. And once we've had that kind of experience, our hearts will explode with excitement, and it will be so easy for us to go and teach someone else how to have a similar experience. Because of this experience 2 months ago, I came back determined to go back through my family history and find the first members who were baptized members of all of the lines that I could find. I'm getting there. I'm into whales. I'm learning that they were probably coal miners before they came to Utah. As I begin to know and love my ancestors for who they really were, it will be so much easier for me to go and perform their temple ordinances. Brethren, the spirit of Elijah is here. It has been restored and revealed. We are the key holders that can unlock the door for the members of our stakes and wards so that they can have an Elijah experience. And you will do so, I humbly pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.